All right, we're starting here on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, five lines down. Rabbi Eliezer, my taimel. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer? The Gemara here just posited that we had two brightot that attempted to learn the din of tar by mitzora or tar by nazir, and we weren't sure how was it possible that in one case the Gemara felt that it was obvious by nazir, and then we were trying to learn to mitzora, and the vice versa. One case it seems obvious by mitzora, and then we're learning it to nazir. The Gemara suggested that that was a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Chachamim, who we saw in yesterday's daf, the Rabbonon, who believed that when it comes to upaat zikanam lo yigalechu, that that only has application with regards to giluach and hashchata, with regards to atar, with regards to a razor. And that means that if we have a special permission by mitzora to allow such a cutting of the hair, that implies that the tar must be used by mitzora. Otherwise, why would you need a dispensation? If you were simply to use a milaket verihitni, then you wouldn't need any dispensation by mitzora. It would have been self-evident because you're not doing anything that's wrong. The fact that you need dispensation must mean that you are using a tar. And therefore, by mitzora, we know that there is a need for tar. And then from there, we can learn to nazir. On the other hand, we're going to see here that Rabbi Eliezer has it the other way around, which is that for him, tar is obvious by nazir. He attempted to learn to mitzora from nazir by a tzadla shaveh from nazir and levi'im. And then the Gemara rejected that because of the tzadla shaveh shebehen, that there was still a common denominator between them, that ein korbano b'dalut. And so therefore they couldn't learn it. And now we have the limud of Rabbi Eliezer. So it's not really Rabbi Eliezer my taima. Not really what's the reasoning, not what's the logic behind Rabbi Eliezer, but rather Minoli. Where do we know that Rabbi Eliezer has this din, or where does he learn it from? Yalif mi Rosho. He learns it out of Rosho. We saw this yesterday that the Pasuk by Mitzora says that he has to cut off Lechet Kol Se'aro, have to cut off all of his hair, and then it mentions separately at Rosho ve'at Zekano. So it's Mefaret Rosho and Zekano, even after it told you Kol Se'aro. So yesterday we saw the limud of the Chachamim with regards to Zekano. Over here, Rabbi Eliezer says that's learned out of me, Rosho, Tanya. Rosho, ma Talmud Lomar. What is the reason that we have the word Rosho there? The Fishin Emar Gaba Nazir. It says by the Nazir, Ta'ar lo yavora Rosho. Ta'ar cannot go on his head. Yochol af Nazir Mitzora. I would think that also by a Nazir Mitzora, that same restriction would apply. Talmud Lomar, Rosho. The limit of Rosho tells you by a Nazir Mitzora that you do cut his head. So now, what that would imply is that, just like by Nazir, the restriction is Tar Lo Yavura Rosho, and now I have a dispensation by Mitzora to cut one's hair on their head. And now if I can cut their hair on their head, that means that I'm allowed to violate the Isur of Tar Lo Yavur Al Rosho. From there I will know that Tar is a requirement by Mitzora. Now that only works according to Rabbi Yonatan, who we saw in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yonatan, who believes that by a nazir, the restriction is only tar and nothing else. So Rabbi Eliezer will have to subscribe to Rabbi Yonatan's position because otherwise you haven't proven anything. If the restriction also by nazir was not simply tar, but milake, trehitni, or any other form of removal of hair, then when you say that I have a dispensation by mitzora, that means that any one of those items could be the thing that I'm allowing you to use by mitzora. The only way I can say that it's uniquely a tar is if you believe by Nazir the restriction is a tar, and now I'll give you a dispensation by Mitzora, so now I permit a tar for you to use by Mitzora. And this will be Rabbi Eliezer's limud, that tar by Mitzora is necessary because he learns it out of Nazir. As opposed to the Chachamim who learned it out of Mitzora itself because of Zkano, they learned that from Pa'at Zkanam to Mitzora, and then from Mitzora they extrapolate that to Nazir. Now, the reason that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't use it for a plain case of mitzora here, and says it's a case of a mitzora nazir, is because of one of two reasons that Tosafot mentions over here. Either because he believes that hakavat kol harosh lo shma hakafa, that if one cuts up all of their hair on the head, they're not in violation of the Isur of lo takifu pa'at roshchem, and therefore he doesn't need any heter to allow you to shave your head in a basic case of a mitzora. Or because he believes that ase docha lo tase. And we're going to see later on in the sugya that he learns that from a different source. And that source allows him to say that by the ase of mitzora to use a tar, will override the lav alotakif le'pat roshchem. He only needs it when we have more than one lav on the other side. That's what he needs the limud for. So Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that this limud is right? Dilma, ve'olam afilu liktomim laketu beritni. Mitzvah ka'avid, v'chitei metar lamali, the memra dafilu bitar. So a similar type of question that we asked from yesterday, which is, who says that tar is a requirement? It might be that the permissibility of tar here is not to tell you that you must do it with a tar, but rather to give you the option to do it with a tar. If you did it with a malakit rehitni, it would work fine. Just if you want to know if you can use a tar, the answer is yes, and that's what the limud is for, but not that you're obligated to use a tar by mitzora. Marzeh, salkadat chamina hoil v'gabi nazir, ki abid b'tar mechayev, gami mitzora, nami lechayev. Because I would have thought then, that just like by Nazir, when he does it with tar, he's chayav. Gabi mitzora, also you would be chayav. Kamash malon, dilo. And that would teach us, no, that's not the case. Tar is not an obligation. Tar is simply an option. It's one of the options that you have available to you. It's one of the items that you have in your toolbox. Now, the Gemara here does not continue like it did yesterday. And yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara then continued and said, well then, if that's the case, lishto kramine. The pasuk should have said nothing. The Gemara said, if that was the case, then all you had to do was have the pasuk say nothing. The pasuk said nothing, I would make a kal v'chomer of sorts, which is that by Nazir, where he's doing some sort of aveira, we discussed what the aveira was, just like by Nazir, tar is permitted, so too, over here, tar would be permitted. So why would I need the pasuk at all? That's what the Gemara said yesterday. Our Gemara does not ask that question. And Tosafot discusses why it is that it doesn't do that. It says, V'ktat kasha, amai lo mesik nami hachi lishnuya dilel. Why doesn't it say the same thing that it said yesterday? Lishto kraminei. But amina ma nazir di surakavi. V'yesh lomar, tohocha ikal meimar the shiny nazir. Teleke lechad lav da kavatarosh. Nazir is different than mitzora. Because when it comes to nazir, you only have one restriction when it's a kavatarosh. Lekach dochile. Tiglachto, the nazir. That's why it overrides nazir. Aval nazir mitzora, ipe train lavin. Lav the nazir tar lo yovor, veladav da kafat arosh. Now you've doubled up with lavim. Ukach lo yidche asay de mitzora lahanach tre lavin. Vod da say de gidul pera. And on top of that, you have another asay. So what Tosafot suggests over here is that limud that we had yesterday, we were simply trying to learn from nazir to mitzora. Over there, you were taking the tar from nazir and then moving it over to mitzora. Over there, all you were trying to do was override the one restriction of hakafa tarosh, which is the isur to take off one's peyot. That's it. Over here, you're trying to eliminate many more restrictions. You have to eliminate hakafa tarosh in general. You have to eliminate the restriction of a nazir, tar lo yavorosho, and you have to remove the assay, which is kadoshia gadel pera. He has to grow out his hair. So you have two lavim and an assay. That type of limud would not be consistent to say, just like, oh, by Nazir, he uses a tar is the item, so too by Mitzora. It's not a clear limud because there's so many restrictions that are found here by a Nazir Mitzora. So that's why Tosafot says it opts out the Gemara of going that derech, but rather answers with the final answer that we answered with yesterday, which is, Isak adatcha ki avid melaket ritni mitzvah kovid. If you're going to tell me that melaket ritni are sufficient means to do this, midlokot of tar, because it doesn't write tar, kiresh lakish. Then you have the problem of resh lakish, which is, if I have a choice between doing a mitzvah assay and not violating the lot assay, or I have an option of doing the assay and violating a lot assay, I'm going to tell you, do the assay without violating the lot assay. And that would be, do malakit rehitni, and you would never do tar. It would never be an option available to you, because it would be then you have to be assay doche lot assay, and we won't allow you, or won't give you that opportunity. So now, we have the limud of Rabbi Elazar with the limud of the Chachamim. What's obvious is that each one of them uses a different word. The Chachamim use the word zikano, and Rabbi Eliezer uses the word rosho. What's the question? What does each one do with the other one's word? And that's the next question that the Gemara asks, which is, V'rabonon, hi rosho, my darshibe. What do they do with the drasha by rosho? So, mi'baylahu, the midche lav de hakafa. They needed to override the lav of hakafat rosh. Titanya, you have a brayta. Lo takifu pa'at roshchem. You may not square out the corners of your head. Yochol af mitzora kein. I would think mitzora has the same restriction. Tamalomar rosho. From there I have the word rosho. Lomali, lemichtav rosho. But typically, mizkano. Why do I need rosho? We'll learn it out of zkano. Detanya, zkano, matamalomar, lefishanamar upatzkanam lo yigalechu. That you have a restriction against removing one's beard. Yochol af mitzora kein. You would think of mitzora too. Tamalomar zkano. So now I have each word coming to override a restriction. Mitzora has all of his hair removed. In that process, he will violate lo takifu at prat roshchem, that you're not allowed to square up the sides of your hair, and also will violate at zikanam lo yigalechu. So I have the word rosho to tell me that you do override lo takifu at prat roshchem, and I have the word zikano to tell me that I override prat zikanam lo yigalechu. But then, why do I need both of them? Once I know one of them, then it should be obvious that the other one is true. If I know that the asev mitzora overrides the lav, why isn't it true that it overrides the law in both of these cases? Lama lemichtav rosho, v'lama lemichtav zikano. Why do I need both of these limudim? Tzriche, I need both of them. Te'ika tov rachmana zikano. Had the Torah just written zikano, v'lo katav rosho, and not the word rosho, hava amina, hakafat kol harosh, lo shma hakafa. I would say the reason that you don't need a dispensation for lo takifu l'pat roshchem is not because you can't do it, but rather it's not necessary. A kafata rosh might only apply when there is a rosh left, meaning that you can only have peyot to remove if you have hair on your head. And then cutting off the peyot levels out or flattens out the hair from basically the temple area back to behind the ear. So if you slice off the pot, then you have the rest of the hair that creates the problem. If you have no hair at all, meaning that you shave your entire head, then there are no peyot to take off because the peyote themselves don't exist anymore. You don't have corners if you have something that's there. If you have nothing there, then there are no more corners left. So I would have thought the reason by mitzora you're allowed to take off the peyote is not because it's the asei is doche de lo tase, but that's simply there is no restriction here because you're removing all of the hair. So then the Torah writes rosho to teach you that that is the case, that hakafat arosh kol arosh, even if you take off all your hair, there's still a restriction of taking off the peyot. Even though there's a lav, nevertheless, now rosho teaches you to override it. V'katav rosho, had it simply written rosho, v'lo katav zkano, and it did not write zkano, hava mina mashmei tarte. I thought I would have learned out two things here. Number one is, the ati asei v'dachi et lo tasei, that an asei is docha lo tasei, and number two, mashma takavat kol arosh, shma hakafa. And that cutting off one's peyot is a problem, and that's why I need the dispensation of rosho to allow me to do it. Vakati betar minalan. How do I know it has to be done with a razor? Where did the chachamim learn out razor from? Zikano. That's the connection between upat zikanam lo yigalechu. The fact that the restriction of taking off your beard is with a razor, that shows you that mitzora must be using a razor. That's why I need the dispensation of zikano. Without that dispensation, I would not be allowed to take off the beard. But that must mean that you're taking off the beard by the mitzora with a tar. And so that teaches you the din of tar. So that's what it means. Vakati b'tar minyalon ha'chi katov rachmana zikano. And that's why the Torah wrote the word zikano. So now from here, we can ask a number of questions. We'll work through them. The first of which is, how come it's so obvious that by zikano that you have to use a tar? And by rosho, it's not so obvious that you tar is the problem. From here, Tosafot concludes that the Isur of lo takivu pat roshchem is different than the Isur of pat zikanam lo yigalechu. That by pat zikanam lo yigalechu, the restriction is tar. Only tar. And that means that you can use scissors or anything else to cut one's beard because of pat zikanam lo yigalechu. That's where the restriction of tar is. By lo takifu pat roshchem, what seems from this Gemara and what Tosafot concludes is that when it comes to akafat arosh, there's not only a restriction by tar, there's a restriction by scissors or anything else of cutting the hair. Otherwise, then you wouldn't need the extra word of zikano to teach you tar. You would have known it from akafat arosh. The fact that I need a dispensation for akafat arosh would tell me that I must be using a tar. The fact that the Gemara makes a tzrichuta and says, if you just had rosho, I wouldn't know tar, that means that it doesn't think tar is the only type of restriction by Hakafat Arosh. And that's what Tosafot concludes over here, even though this is against, seemingly, the Gemara's in other places in Shas, where it seems to be that Hakafat Arosh is similar to Upat Zagam Lo Yigalechu, and that it's only with a razor that it is problematic. It turns out to be a Machlokat Rishonim here between the Tosafot and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions down. as to whether Hakavat HaRosh is only a problem when you use a razor, is Hakavat HaRosh a problem even when you use scissors or something that creates or simulates what a razor does? And Tosafa makes a nice, interesting comment here about children, and he says, the shapi ikru ke'en tar, because even with scissors, that's called ke'en tar. V'chein nagu olam, shemigalchim atinokot, l'shayir b'tzadehem harbei se'arot. That when they cut the hair of the children, they leave a bunch of hair on the side over here. They don't cut off with the scissors. By an adult, if you already have, the hair grows in, it's attached to the face. So even if you cut with scissors, it's not going to take the hair off because you'll still have that peyote over there. For a child, if you take scissors and cut, the hair is not attached. The hair is coming down, dropping down from above. So if you cut with the scissors, you would simply cut the whole peyote off. And so that the minhag olam, not to cut those peyote with scissors, is because we think that the restriction applies even by scissors, not just by tar. If it was only a problem of tar, then you should be able to just slice across with the scissors. It wouldn't be a problem. I'm not using a tar. It's not ke'en tar. You're cutting the hair not anywhere near the roots. These are long pieces of hair that are hanging down for the child. Oh, he says the fact that there's a restriction even by misparayim tells us don't do that by the child's hair. All right, so that's number one. Number two is, the Gemara is going to ask in a couple minutes about Rabbi Lezer's opinion with regards to asay, doche lo tase. Now over here, the Chachamim learn out of the words zekano and rosho. In both cases, they say that asay, doche lo tase. The asay of mitzora allows you to override whether it is lo takifu et pat roshchem, or whether it is ufat zekanam lo yigalechu, allows you to override that isur, or to remove that isur, because we have an assay that is doche lo tase. So the question becomes then, what happens in cases where I have additional restrictions over here? Over here, we're allowing the assay of mitzora to override the lo tase of zikanam, and I'm also allowing it to override the lo tase of lo takifu et pat roshchem. What happens in a case where he happens to be a mitzora and a nazir? What happens in a case where he is a mitzora and he is also a Kohen? In those instances, not only is there one lav, but there's a second lav, and there's an assay involved. How do I know in those cases that the din of mitzora overrides? Over here, the Gemara never clarifies that position of the Chachamim as to why that is the case. So Tosfot over here explains that by a Kohen mitzora overriding the restriction of Pat Zikanam, as well as the assay of Kedoshim to you, and by the case of a Nazir mitzora to override the law of Da'akofa, Tosfot says the same thing in both instances. He says, Minolan, the Nazir mitzora migaleach, the Kohen mitzora, elo korchachach tzarich lomar, the mikre mole dibera katuv. That the pasuk speaks, period. It doesn't define the circumstances. That means any circumstances. The kaven dekra stomach tiv, the pasuk's just written, mitzora, zkano, rosho, you're allowed to do it. It doesn't say only in this case, only in that case. It just says it. Therefore, b'chol inyan, benchu kohen, benchu hu nazir. Whether he's a kohen or whether he is a nazir, from there we would know that it overrides in either of these cases. So by nazir, mitzora, tosva, right? So tzirch lomar, kol nafakhu mi rosho. The mikra mali dibera katuv, loshna hu nazir, loshna einu nazir. That's what the Tosafot here says. Va'od, kaven de galilan bizkano, de dachi asei de giluach la ve'asei. By zkano, where it already tells us that it works over there to override the lav and the asei by mitzora and de kohen. Adin shidchet bet lavin v'asei. De ein svara lahem lechalek ben lav echad l'shnei lavin. The Tosafot brings another possibility that there's no difference between a lav echad and shnei lavin. For the nasei to be doche one lav, or to be doche two lavin, is not a big deal. So if you just add on another lav, that nasei should be able to override that, and it should not make a difference that there's one lav versus two lavin. This is, again, not such simple logic. If you go to Tosfot and Daf Nunchet Amud Bet, which has a parallel sugya to this sugya, and adds on some of the details that we don't have here, over there, Tosfot seems to reject this whole approach with regards to the Chachamim. That's number one. Number two is, Hakafat kol harosh shma hakafa. In our Gemara over here, it assumes that that is not obvious, that hakafat harosh shma hakafa, that the default position would be that if you shaved off all your head, you would not be in violation of lo takifu et pat roshchem. That's why we need the pasuk of rosho to teach you that it is a problem, and that's why I need to have a dispensation for it. But otherwise, that would not be the case. Tosafot says that this sugya then argues on the sugya on Daf Nun Chet. Because on Daf Nun Chet, the Gemara seems to take the other approach. which is that the default would be that hakafat kol harosh, shma hakafa. And therefore, that's the default, and you need something to teach you otherwise if you want to change that character. And that's he brings, that difference between this sugya and the sugya nunchet, that either might be a stira or a machloket, a sugyot, as to which one is the default. Whether hakshavavat, kol harosh, shma hakafa, or lo shma hakafa, might be the difference between the sugya here on Mem Aleph and the sugya later on we're going to see on daf nunchet. Question that you have to ask on the Rabbanan Shito is, if we now find that an assay is docha, an assay and a lot assay, which is basically what the pasuk is saying in the end, that zekano or rosho basically teach you that when it comes to the assay by mitzora, it overrides a kohen mitzora and also overrides a nazir mitzora. That means that an assay is powerful enough to override an assay and a lot assay. How come we don't extrapolate that to other places in Shas? Very good. So in each of these cases, there's a weakness in the isur. By kohen mitzora, it's a weakness of the enu shaveh b'kol. Kohen is not a din that is shaveh b'kol. It's also, upat zekam lo yigalechu enu shaveh b'kol. It doesn't apply to women, only applies to men. So because it's enu shaveh b'kol, it's a weaker form, and therefore you can't extrapolate to other cases in Shas, because it might work here because of the klishut, because of the weakness of the restriction. The same is true by nazir, because by nazir you also have a weakness, which is yeshno b'sheila. You have the ability to remove the restriction because you can go get hatarat nidarim and remove the restriction. So since both of them are a weakened form of asay, doche, lo tasay v'asay, even though it's a limud here, you cannot extrapolate to anywhere else in Shas, and therefore it'll be limited to the cases over here and not to cases anywhere else in Shas. Therefore, once I have that, I have now a limud here, or two limudim, that basically say, asay doche, lo tasay v'asay, asay doche, lo tasay v'asay, but both of them are weak. Assays or weak lavin, because one's mitzora, one is nazir. So there, based on that, the Ram is quoted in the Tosfot as saying, "Varam amar l'rabbana necha de mitzilimar de rosho im enu inyan l'she'enu shaveh b'kol de nafkalan mizkano." I would have known that already from zkano. Afilo lav v'asay she'enu shaveh b'kol tneu inyan l'lav hashaveh b'kol. Based on that, the Chachamim now have a source for asay dochalot asay. Even though technically over here we're using it to say asay docha asay v'lot asay. But both of them are eno shaveh b'kol. There's some weakness in it. So I have the pasuk tell me the same thing twice. So what the Ram suggests is over here, if I don't need both of them to teach me the same thing, then use one of them to teach me at least that as an assay is docha alav hashaveh b'kol. It can wipe out a lav that's equal to everybody. V'alti tama dolo ashapir istrich rosho leshminan tavat kol arosh shma kafa. Why do you need that? I still need the word rosho to teach me that a kafat arosh is a problem. We could say that it is misvar they learned this, because then imtza sugya chaluka reish shnei nizirim. And that's the difference between this sugya and the sugya nunchet. Sugya nunchet takes it for granted that hakafat arosh is shma hakafa, and they don't need rosho for that. And therefore now I have these extra psukim to teach you asay doche lo tasay. Alright, so now that is the position of the chachamim. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, da'ati asay v'dochi et lo tasay minalei. So now, where does Rabbi Eliezer learn out that asay is doche lo tasay? What do you mean? He has the psukim over here that are telling us to say doche lo tasay. But, if you remember, Rabbi Eliezer used the words when we asked about his source, we said he learns it out of rosho. Because he says, the case is a case of a nazir mitzora. And even though he's a nazir mitzora, we say he has dispensation to use a tire to override that to cut his hair. But that means that, why did he jump to nazir mitzora? Why didn't he just say that it's coming here to be doche, the din of lo takifu et pa'at roshchem? Why do you have to have nazir included in it? So it must be that Rabbi Eliezer has a different source for asay doche lo tasay, and that would have been obvious. The fact that the asay of mitzora can override the restriction of lo takifu et pa'at roshchem, that I don't need the pasuk for. I need the pasuk to go up to the next level, which is that it overrides a nazir mitzora. But that makes it obvious that he has a source for asay doche lo tasay. And what is that source? And he can't learn it out of zikano. And as the Mefarish points out, he needs zikano to teach you the case of kohen mitzora. But that still won't help you with asay doche lo tasay in general. Tosfot claims because by zikano you would have learned by a kohen mitzora, and you could argue that kohanim have extra mitzvot. And therefore the mitzvah over here that allows the tar for the kohen mitzora is unique to a kohen who is given many more mitzvot, and we can't extrapolate from that to other cases. Or as the Mefarish says over here, there's a deficit in the case of Kohen Mitzora, which is She'eno Shaveh B'Kol, And there's a deficit by the case of Rosho, which is Shekhen Yeshla Bishaila. So that Rabbi Lezer Dati Asim Duchalota Seminale Yolif Migdilim. He learned that out of Tzitzit. The Tanya Lo Tilbash Shatnez. You're not allowed to wear Shatnez mix of wool and linen. Hagdilim Taselachamim. Juxtaposed in the Pasuk are Lo Tilbash Shatnez Semu Pishtim Yachtav. Gdilim Taselach. Alarbakan Fokusutcha Asher Techaseba. From here, that smichut, the Gemara learns out in Yevamot, that even though generally shatnez is restricted when it comes to making tzitzit, that shatnez is permitted. The reason being that you need a p'til techelet. The p'til techelet must be made out of wool. And if you have a linen beged, the only way to have tzitzit on a linen beged with a p'til techelet is to have shatnez. And so this is the dispensation that says that a se dochelot, to say the mitzvah of tzitzit overrides the lota se of shatnez. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer learns it from. So he learns it from that, Asei Doche Lo Tase, and then he expands or extrapolates to Kol HaTorah Kula. And then, over here, he has the extra word Rosho to teach you that Nazir Mitzora gets a dispensation to cut his hair, but that means you must be using a tar, and that's how he knows tar by Mitzora, the mitzvah of tar by Mitzora. Now, what we never answered for Rabbi Eliezer is, what does he do with the word? Zkano. So he uses Kano for the case of Kohen Umitzora. Because by Kohen Mitzora, you have an issue of, number one, Patz Kanam Lo Yigalechu. You have a problem of Kedoshim to you, Benasena Lotase, that you would have to override in order to do it. And we say, despite the fact we allow you to do it, why don't you learn that out of Nazir? Because he already has Mitzora Nazir, which shows us that you can override. That was what we said before, you needed Tzrichuta. Which is that there's a weakness by Nazir, and there's a weakness by Mitzora that I can't extrapolate one to the other. And therefore I need two separate Sukkim to teach me. One to teach me by Zakano, and one to teach me by Rosho. One to teach me Nazir Mitzora, and one to teach me Kohen Mitzora. And that's the way that we'll have those Limidim be learnt out. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer will do with Kano. So this Sugya is paired up with Nunchet, and Nunchet, the Gemara asks more of these questions and expands on what we have here. It also disagrees with some of the things that we have here. So now the other thing is that, what about Asei Dochelotase? Why don't the Chachamim learn out Asei Dochelotase from the Gemara in Yevamot of Gdilim Taselecha that overrides Shatnez? Why are they learning it from here? So now we saw the Ram, who says that no, they learn it out of the fact that it tells us both by Nazir Mitzora and Kohen Mitzora that we have two things telling us the same din, which is the Asei can override a weaker Lav and Asei. So from there we learn Asei Dochelotase. That's one approach. The other approach in the Rishonim is Asei Ena Chanami. That the Chachamim, in the end, do learn it out of Nimud of Gidilim Taselach Lo Tubash Shatnez Tzemu Pishtim Yachtav. That's what they learn out, Asei Dochelot Asei. And over here, they learn out from the words Zikano and Rosho to the cases where you have a weaker lab. There's a Tzrichuta between them. I mean, they're both different. One is Yeshno B'Sheila, and one is Enu Shaveh B'Kol. So it's a different weakness in each of these cases, and therefore you can't learn one from the other. You can't say that it's a duplication, and therefore it's Neo Le'inyan Acher. So that's actually the way that most of the Rishonim learn, and then based on the Gemara Nunchet, it would seem more likely that's the position of the Chachamim, or the Rabbanon over here, whereas the Ram over here says that you don't have to go in that direction. You don't have to do that. You could actually learn out to say Dochelota, say for the Chachamim, and that's why the Gemara doesn't ask on the Chachamim, and only on the Rabbanon, only ask on Rabbi Eliezer, where's your Asei Dochelota, say? They don't ask, where's the Rabbanon's Asei Dochelota, say? So the Ram says the reason is because of what we just explained. Other Rishonim say simply that according to the Chachamim, imkein ganar abanan tikshem in olon de ba'alma say dochelota say where the rabbanan know that din from. Omer Raf, mishum haki parich lebe lezer de muki the high rosho mishum nazir dika lav ve'asei. So there he jumped rosho to say that it's applying to a nazir mitzora, which is a lav and an asei, actually two lav and an asei. Why did he jump a step? What happened to asei dochelota say? How come he jumped a step? That's why the Gemara asked. But not because the Chachamim don't have it, but the Chachamim themselves also have this problem. They didn't make it obvious that they didn't have asei dochelota say over here by the Chachamim, that they use it for hakafat kol harosh, then they have an asei dochelota say. And if that's the case, they can learn it out over here from Rosho. Because the way that the Chachamim learned Rosho was, Rosho teaches me that hakafat harosh, kol harosh, shma hakafa. And therefore the Asei is Dochelotase. So they have out of the word Rosho, Asei Dochelotase. And then you can extrapolate from that to other Lavin. So that's the way the first answer to the Tosvot. The second answer to the Tosvot is that the Chachamim learn it out of the Enu Inyan Lezeh, Tuneu Le'inyan Acher. Whereas the answer of the Maharap Says that in Okanami, the Chachamim do need a source for a Zei Dokalota. Say the Gemara just didn't emphasize it here because it wasn't as obvious from their position. But then, where do they know Nazir Mitzora from? They don't have that in the Pasuk. And that's why many of the Rishonim believe, based on the Gemara Nunchet and Yivamot, that the Chachamim really learn out a Zei Dokalota say from Gedilim Tasalacha. And then they use these two Psukim, one to teach you Nazir Mitzora and one to teach you Kohen Mitzora. All right, we'll stop over here. I'll send out the charts that give you all the limudim for the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer so that you can see a summary of their positions.